the whole book of Esther. And what a surprise. Not one time is the word God or Lord, anything that directly mentions God in any one chapter, the whole book of Esther. And yet, this brother's got the answer. God is interwoven through every verse and every word and every chapter and every line. But yet, he is not exploited. He's never mentioned. But he's just there. Day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year. He's always there. Let's praise God for that. Of Esther to me is one of the most beautiful books in the Bible. When you think about people carried away into captivity, King Ahasuerus looking for a new queen, poor little Esther's mom and daddy killed in the slaughter of the battle of captivity, what brought them into captivity, and Mordecai taking her in to raise her, and then how that she became queen by such a beautiful spirit as saying, just whatever the king likes, just let me be like that. And because of such an attitude and the king's keeper, the women, knowing what the king liked and her being willing to just submit to that. That's like the pastor. And just being able to submit to the keeper of the church and say, whatever you know the king likes, just tell me and that's what I want to be. And you know him, and you're the leader, and you're the one that's getting us prepared to meet the king as a potential queen. And so, just tell me what he likes. And so when she went before the king, he chose her. And then how the wicked man Haman, through jealousy and evil and wicked heart, wanted to have the Jews killed on a certain day. And you hear me, God foreordained this whole thing. And whenever Esther began to fast and pray. Well, when she began to see Mordecai down in the gate with that sackcloth and ashes and fasting, she said, come on, send him some nice clothes. She said, put these on. Quit acting like a poor man. You're a professional. You're a wealthy man in consideration of the Jews of that day. And why don't you quit acting that way? But he finally said, Esther, you need to understand something. You've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And really what we want to say is, we want to read into that and say, God has brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this. And yet the Bible don't say, God has brought you to the kingdom. It just said, you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And then her going before the king and asking petitions, and the story goes on how that through the effort of the prayer and fasting of Mordecai and her fasting and prayer, that the king allowed her to approach him, and he heard her petition. And when she could have been killed, there are so many potential tragedies in the book of Esther. And yet it worked out so beautiful how that the king said, yes, come on and approach me. It's against the law for anybody to approach the king without being asked to come. But she fasted and prayed and just went without being asked. And she found favor in his sight, and she asked petitions, and he granted those petitions. And when the Jews should have been killed by the order of the wicked man Haman on a certain day, there was another decree ordered by the king, because Esther came to the kingdom for such a time as that. And they were able to defend themselves and prepare to defend themselves, and they were saved. And Haman was hung on the same gallows that he had intended to hang Mordecai on. And when you look at all of this, and then how that Mordecai, there's some humorous stuff in here about how that Haman thought that he was going to be led down to the streets on a beautiful king's horse with a king's garment on. And instead, the king made Haman lead Mordecai down the street with on a nice horse and have everybody sing praises to Mordecai. When you look at the twist of events and how that things were headed in the wrong way and yet they were turned to go in the right way and made to turn out so good. In the end, Haman hung on his own gallows and Mordecai was promoted to being second to the king in the kingdom in such a great position. And how the Esther lived a good, long, fruitful, happy life of love with the king. This book is so beautiful. But yet God, the word God or Lord, is not mentioned in there one time. And when it dawned on me that that was the case of the book of Esther, that not one time is God mentioned there, and yet God's handiwork is through every bit of it. There's not a verse in it that you can't see God in it. That's somehow another atheist or managed to be able to look at a cloud, look at a tree, look into the eyes of a newborn baby, and yet say there is no God. It's because you have to have some faith in God to see God in everything that happens. Amen. We take so many things for granted, and that's what can happen in the book of Esther if people are not careful. They can take the whole book of Esther for granted. Every event, every miracle, every turn of events, every time that God turns something around, they can say, well, it was a political thing, or it was a coincidence, or it just happened that way. I've heard people say that they were healed of a headache. Oh, well, it would have went away anyhow. I've heard of people getting headaches, and when they went to have it checked out, they had a brain tumor. Some folks say, well, I had a stomachache, and I got prayed for and it went away, but it would have went away anyhow. You know, that's the way stomachaches are. We had a lady in our church that got a stomachache. She went to the doctor and she had the tumor the size of a grapefruit in her and had to have it removed. And sometimes we get to thinking, well, this was just a coincidence, or this cold would have went away anyhow, or this would have got okay, or my marriage would have worked out anyway, or eventually this would have happened anyway. But I'm here to say that even when God does not appear in some visible form, when He don't strike like a bolt of lightning, whenever it's not a thunder or it's not some booming situation, God is interwoven in our lives. Every day, every hour, every year, it's God in the morning, God in the noontime, God at night. He is there. And that's why we have a beautiful life as we have. Let's praise God together. Hallelujah. It is such a beautiful thing to see God's handiwork in people's lives day by day and week by week. And I think that we ought to be aware and be thankful that even though that God doesn't always come and say with flashing lights, I'm here, God is so beautiful in an everyday walk with Him. So beautiful. And what's so good that God don't get glory for so many times is the things that didn't happen. When somebody has a wreck and they almost die and we pray and God pulls them through, God gets a lot of glory out of that. But when we had a flat tire or a red light caught us, or a dumb, crazy, slow person got in front of us and wouldn't get on and get with it, and then we got down the road and there was a wreck that could have been us had something not delayed us, it's easy sometimes not to give the God the glory for that. When I was about 18, 17 years old, I'd been evangelizing. I was coming home on a small country two-lane paved road. It was a highway, but it was just they used to make them a lot more narrow than like they do now. It was raining, and it was back when the speed limit was 65 on two-lane roads, and I was doing close to 70. And I suddenly came up in the thick rain. It wasn't thick rain, it was just wet. It had been raining and it was still drizzling. But when I came up on this construction that I just wasn't paying attention. And it was either run over these construction guys or swerve around them. And how I did it, I don't know. But as I got ready to swerve around them, there was a car coming head on at me. And I was able to there was a construction truck in my lane, and that car was in his lane heading at me. And somehow I got between them right down the middle, and nobody left the road. I mean, there's no way we could have missed more than a fraction of an inch. No way that our door handles could not have almost brushed each other. And yet, without me having time to calculate, me not being a race car driver or anything, we all managed to get by one another without anybody leaving the highway. When I look at things like that, I say, God, You didn't come in here and flash in lights and say, I'm here. No angel came down and let me watch Him flutter around and take His hand and scoop me up and push me over. But I know the handiwork of God was in it. I know the handiwork of God was in it. Our children, there's no doubt in my mind that the angel of the Lord encamps around about them. And all the things that didn't happen. When our children get so sick and so ill with fever, and it seems so pitiful to see a child sick, and we pray and God heals them, and then we give God the glory. But what about all those days and weeks and months that our children are well, that God sees a germ going for our children and just says, not now. Oh, Jesus. Pastors that walk into hospital rooms, such as myself and Mother Shirley and some other ministers no doubt here, walk into hospital rooms and people's homes where there's diseases, many times contagious diseases. Now we're dealing with people with AIDS and all kind of other serious problems that could even be an embarrassing situation if it could be caught some way besides what they say it can be done. And yet God just puts a hand up there and says, no, not today. I thank Him for His unseen hand. I thank Him for His unseen work. Let's praise God right now. Praise God right now. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. The book of Esther is without a doubt one of my most favorite books. And one of the things about the book of Esther that I think has always fascinated me is one point proves how God can take our blunders and turn them into marvelous operations. In the first place, Esther's name was wrong. Her mother made a mistake, or her daddy, whoever named her wrong. They named her Hadassah. And God didn't like that name. So when it come time for Esther to play such an important role, Esther became the portrait, became the prophetic portrait of the church. And Ahasuerus became like God, the king. All of these types and shadows. Mordecai as a pastor. All right? All of these things. Even the keeper of the women liked the Holy Ghost, that knew exactly what the king liked. Everything is so beautiful in Esther. But when her name was documented at birth, Hadassah, when God decided He was going to use her in a specific role in the operation of the portrait of the church, He changed her name to Esther. Now, Hadassah means myrtle. And somehow I can just imagine God not wanting the church to be named Myrtle. There's humor in that too. But it does. Hadassah means Myrtle. And if you are here today and your name is Myrtle, I'm not laughing at you. But anyhow, somehow God just didn't want Esther to represent the church and be named Myrtle. And He named her Esther, which the interpretation of the name Esther means a star. And all through the book of Esther, God kept saying, you can't kill the star. You just can't kill the star. Haman, you're on a dead end street, Haman. You can't kill the star. Hallelujah. The book of Esther is so wonderful, so beautiful. And I become more fascinated with God every day. I'm fascinated at God's wisdom. I'm fascinated with His patience. I'm fascinated with His operations.
I'm fascinated with the way God handles His business. I mean that. When I worship God, Brother Salisbury said last night, he had elbowed his wife and said, "Look at that. Brother Shirdy acts like he's really enjoying this." Well, I really am. I'm serious. If you want to use the term, and this is, pig out. That's what I've been doing in these services. Just kind of, there's... Hallelujah. But there's such an atmosphere about this. There is nothing uptight. There is no tension. There is, there's such... Now, when you talk about laid back, I don't know what you would compare this to, but this is laid back power. It's almost like a bulldozer sitting there just kind of idling. And it's really not doing anything, but it's just full of power. And that's the way I'm feeling. I just feel like everything is just right there, and it's working right, hitting on all cylinders, everything's running smooth. And I'm just amazed at God. I marvel at God. And I love Him. Hallelujah. And I love to delight myself in Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love to shout and sing, clap hands, dance in the Spirit. I have a blast. I've come to a place that I really don't care what I sound like, look like, act like. It doesn't matter. If I'm enjoying it and worshiping God, that's what I'm here for. Hallelujah. I have somehow tapped into something that I want to pass this on to you. This morning, got up and we had a drizzle rain, but it doesn't matter. If the clouds are dark and heavy and rain is pouring or a misting rain or a cold winter day, it doesn't matter. The sun still rose. It came right up in the place it was supposed to. It's still right there. If you ever got above the clouds, you would see the sun is as bright as it ever was. It didn't miss a lick. It's right there. The sun rose because it had no choice. It is following right down the groove of God's computerized plan. It just simply has to come up and go down. It is not really the sun that's moving, but it's the earth that is revolving and rotating. And God put a spin on it, friend. He gave it exactly what He wanted it to have. And it's got to do it. Hallelujah. The Washita can't back up and go north. It can't. God designed that it would go south and flow into the Gulf of Mexico. Every drop of water that flows by in the Washita has a certain kind of gurgle to it. When it passes by and flows around the bends and under the willow trees, and it says, "Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God." Hallelujah! Glory to God! Hallelujah! The wind has to blow. It has no choice. It has to blow. And when the wind blows through the trees and the leaves are shaken and the limbs are moved, it has no choice, but it says, "Praise God, praise God, praise God." When the bird got up this morning, he opened his mouth and fluttered his wings and started to sing a song. He didn't have a choice. He simply programmed by the computer of God to say, "Thank God, praise God for another day." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. But God didn't do to me what He did to the sun and the moon and the stars and the Washita or the wind of the trees and the flowers or the birds of the animals. He didn't do it to me like that. But He put down inside of me a sleeper, friend. It was like a seed that somehow I've got to motivate. Somehow I've got to activate that seed inside of me, that all of a sudden it comes alive inside of me and something comes out and says, "Praise God, hallelujah, glory to God. You're wonderful, Lord. I praise You, Master. Hallelujah. I just love to praise Him." Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Every time we make a blunder, He straightens it up and makes a flower out of it. Every time we make a mistake, He makes a masterpiece out of it. Oh, what a God! Hallelujah! What a God! Praise God! I was reading Psalms 126 this morning. David said two times in two verses, he has done three things. Hallelujah. Let's sing that chorus before we go eat lunch. If I've got it already. Do a little bit. Come on. Help me sing it together, will you? Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy
name. Come on, we're going to sing that again. Hallelujah. I just love to praise Him. Come on, one more time. Hallelujah. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, bless the Lord.
Oh, my soul.
A heartbeat. Let us sing it together right now. It says,
for He has done great things. Oh, He has done great things. He has done great things. This is good.
Sing it again. Hallelujah. How about you this morning? Can you really?
He has done great things.
Come on, devil, take that. Huh? Come on, devil, take that.
Oh, yes,
He's the mighty God.
He has done great things.
Bless His
name.
Somebody ought to praise Him right now. I think this church ought to come alive with praise for a little while. Hallelujah! He brought you out of the miry clay. He set your feet on a rock to stay. He put a song in your soul. Hallelujah! Woo! Praise God! Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!